And even though we worship regularly on Sunday, partake in communion, serve the church, friends, we are not immune from breaking the first commandment. Now, you all remember the first commandment, right? What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. And Luther, he provides a really great explanation of this. He says, we should fear and love and trust in God above all things. That's what it means to have no other gods. See, we have to know that God is a person with a personhood. God is not just a collection of our own thoughts and our own beliefs. There was a movie that came out last year, Birdman, with Michael Keaton. How many of you all saw it? Or a couple people. Jamie, you saw it. It was a good movie. I highly recommend it. Well, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a story about an actor who's going through a crisis of personality. He's trying to figure out who he is amidst all of the rumors and the paparazzi and the talk shows that claim to know about him. And so on the mirror in his dressing room, he has this quote, "A thing is a thing, not what is said about a thing." A thing is a thing, not what is said about a thing. When Moses, when he runs across the burning bush and God revealed God's self to Moses, he asks him, well, who are you? Who should I say sent me? And Moses says, And God says to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. So a thing is a thing, not what is said about a thing. I am who I am. God is God, not what people say about God. See, God stands outside all of our beliefs and thoughts and our struggles to understand. God is not some distant tapioca pudding in the sky philosophy, but a person in the form of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when Joshua calls the community to revere the Lord and serve him with all sincerity and faithfulness, and Luther says that we should fear and love and trust in God above all things, it's a very real and personal God that you are being called to follow. Unfortunately, in the United States, we have kind of a communal civil religion that sounds really good, but it is not a religion headed by the Holy Trinity. It's not a religion after the God that Joshua or Luther talks about, and it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Scholars have kind of put a name on this religion, and they call it therapeutic moral deism. Anybody here hear that term before? Therapeutic moral deism? Well, it sounds good, but it's not Christianity, and it worships a God that makes salvation about what you do and your good works, not about the God revealed in Jesus on the cross. And the main tenets of the religion are this, I have them for you up here, that there's a God, a generalized God, who exists and orders the world and watches over human life on earth, that God wants people to be good nice and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and other world religions. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And good people go to heaven when they die. That's moral therapeutic deism. Now, these tenets, they're not bad. But they're just not Christian. I mean, anyone can follow these, but these are not the way of Jesus. See, the God revealed to us in Jesus is more than just moral therapeutic deism. The God revealed to us in Jesus calls him to worship him with our entire lives, with every aspect of our being. And it is Jesus is the one who shaped and formed and created the world and ordered it for us. He is the one who we sing about that watches over the sparrow. God is not an idea to somehow be figured out in abstract terms. God gave himself to us, and it is in the person of Christ on earth. He came, was born in a manger. He had disciples. He suffered, died, and was buried, and he was resurrected to new life. And he calls each one of you to die daily. See, the God revealed in Jesus calls you together. He calls you to stop what you're doing on a weekly basis to come and worship him. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells us, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." See, Jesus is calling us like Joshua to serve God. And so the very first thing that we need in order to serve him, the first thing we do is come and eat at his table. And the disciples, they understood how hard this teaching is. They had to give up their time. They had to give up their own will and ideas. They had to lay down what they thought was right and do what Jesus told them. And so they responded, "Lord, this is difficult. Who can accept this teaching?" And Jesus, he recognizes how offensive his statement is because he asks, "Well, does this offend you?" And then he says, "The words that I've spoken to you, they have spirit and life." See, in order to serve God in the way that he calls, it begins in this room with this group of people. Thomas Merton, he once said, "The first and most elementary test of one's call to the religious life is the willingness to accept life in community in which everyone is more or less imperfect." The first test of the religious life is, can you be in community with people who you know mess up and mess up towards you? People who bug you, people who bother you, people who personality feels like a cheese grater against your skin. We all have them, right? But the test is, can you see Jesus in those other people? Can you live in community together with them? You know, Mark Twain, he was absolutely right. Sometimes the most troubling part of Scripture is the one that we clearly understand. And the God revealed in Jesus, he calls you to come and to die daily to yourselves. Will you have other gods? Or serve Jesus, who calls you to worship him, to abide in him through his meal, and to serve him with your whole lives? Friends, choose this day who you will serve. Amen.